VOA News via remote, I'm hoping. Iran's nuclear chief Ali Akbar Salahi has tested positive for the novel coronavirus, state media reported on Sunday. This as the country announced a new record high in daily fatalities. Salahi, a vice president and the head of the Atomic Energy Organization of Iran, has been under quarantine and resting at home since the test on October 3rd, state media reported. Another vice president said Saturday on Twitter that he was under medical observation after contracting the virus during the past week. State media said both men were in good health on Sunday. Deaths and infections from the virus have been on a sharp rise in Iran since early September. The health ministry said another 251 people died of COVID-19 in the past 24 hours, yet another record high for a single day in the Islamic Republic. Total virus infections since Iran reported its first cases in February crossed the 500,000 mark on Sunday, with over 3,800 new cases confirmed. Overall, COVID-19 has killed over 28,500 and infected roughly 500,000 people in the Middle Eastern country hardest hit by the pandemic. On Saturday, Iran started imposing fines for the first time for breaches of health regulations in the capital. Offenses can include refusal to quarantine while sick and failing to wear a mask in public. Businesses can also be fined for failing to ensure customers wear masks. And Nigeria has dissolved a special police unit after public protests alleging brutality. The president announced Sunday that an investigation will be launched. The scrapping of the Special Anti-Robbery Squad, or SARS, will take effect immediately, the president's office said in a tweet. The Nigerian police force announced in a tweet, too, an investigation into their allegations they'll look into. This is VOA News. Belarus police used water cannons and stun grenades Sunday as they moved to disperse crowds of opposition protesters in the capital Minsk, according to an Interior Ministry spokeswoman. Belarusian authorities have mounted harsh crackdowns on demonstrators, calling for an end to the regime of the strongman leader Alexander Lukashenko, who claimed victory in disputed polls in August. Voting was underway in Tajikistan Sunday in a presidential election expected to pave the way for incumbent Emomali Rahmon to become the longest-ruling strongman in the former Soviet Union. Few are anticipating any hiccups for him as he closes in on three decades in power and looks to overtake Kazakhstan's recently retired leader in the Central Asian longevity stakes. The Central Electoral Commission said the vote had passed the turnout threshold required for validation, with more than 70% of the nearly 5 million eligible voters casting votes. Statements of turnouts are a feature of elections in this part of the world, however, and aren't easily verified. Authoritarian Rahmon faces four other candidates, all viewed as token opponents, in a bid for a fresh 7-year term. Results are expected Monday. While disputed votes in neighboring Kyrgyzstan and fellow former Soviet Republic Belarus have triggered massive upheaval, similar developments appear unlikely here in Tajikistan. Constitutional changes passed in 2006 allow Rahmon to run for office an unlimited number of times. The self-proclaimed Turkish Republic of Northern Cyprus was voting on Sunday for a new leader amid heightened tensions on the divided island and in the wider eastern Mediterranean. The presidential election in the breakaway region pits the incumbent, who supports the reunification of Cyprus, against a nationalist candidate who is backed by Turkey. The vote in the republic, which is recognized only by Ankara, comes 3 days after Turkish troops angered the Republic of Cyprus, which is an EU member, by reopening access to the once popular beach town Varosha for the first time in decades. That move sparked protest in the majority Greek-speaking Republic of Cyprus, which exercises its authority over the island's southern two-thirds, separated from the north by a UN-patrolled buffer zone. The election comes amid tensions in the eastern Mediterranean over the planned exploitation of hydrocarbons between Turkey on the one hand and Greece and its close ally Cyprus on the other. And Britain and Kenya said Sunday they would co-host a summit next year to raise funds for children's schooling in poorer countries, warning that the coronavirus pandemic risks depriving many millions of an education. Via remote, I'm Laurel Woman for VOA News.